Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and love from the Lord Jesus. Amen. The text is from Psalm number 90, the only psalm that Moses wrote. And the following verse: teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. This is the text, my dear brother and sister. Life on earth is transient. It keeps passing. It is like standing in a line, and the line is moving, and the perspective of all changes as we go down this line. Israel was on the move in the desert. Every day things changed around them. There was one constant, and that was the Shekinah, the cloud that showed them the presence of God, the cloud that represented God. A cloud during the day to keep them cool in the shade, and a pillar of fire by night to keep them safe and warm. This cloud was really something. As Moses described it, it would be dark on one side and light on the other side. If there is a museum of biblical objects in heaven, I want to see that cloud. How is it that it was not transparent, that you couldn't see from one side, that there was light on the other side? The other object I want to see is the flaming sword flashing back and forth that God put at the entrance of the Garden of Eden when he expulsed Adam and Eve. That must have been a terrifying sight, but I digress. God was the only constant in the people of Israel's life. They could count on him. They would sin, they would rebel against God, and then repent, and God was there with his grace. That was the way it was, and that is the way it is. May I have a show of hands? How many of you are very worried right now about your original sin? Just as I thought. You see, the guilt of the original sin was taken away at the time of our baptism. It's not a factor in our lives anymore. Death is not hanging over our heads with a threat to strike any minute. We are in God's care and guidance in his family. We are loved and supplied for and reassured that at the end, it'll be all good. And Shakespeare said that all is well that ends well, didn't he? Moses is the great leader of God's people. Moses is the author of this psalm, the only psalm of Moses. I went to Luther to see what the great theologian had to say about it. And he comes out swinging. This Psalm number 90 is the only Psalm of Moses. Therefore, it is the most important of all the Psalms. Whoa! More important than the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. More important than the heavens declare the glory of God. More important than God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. More important than praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Yes, Luther said it is more important because this is from Moses. Moses is the well to which all the prophets, all the apostles, all the evangelists, and Jesus himself went to drink of spiritual wisdom, to quench their spiritual thirst. Moses is the well, the source. He is the one that wrote the whole history of God's people from the creation on until they landed in the Holy Land. Moses is the specialist in God. Moses alone was on Mount Sinai when the mountain shook and smoked and it thundered and lightning fell. Moses himself said, I am trembling of fear. If only if even an animal touches the mountain, it shall die. Whoa. So no wonder Moses says, among other things, who knows the power of your anger? For your wrath, the wrath of God, for your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you. Yeah, and that's unlimited. We fear God. You don't see me prancing around the altar when I go on the altar representing all of you who elected me to be your pastor. I do so reverently, not only physically, visibly, but inside. That's where the reverence really counts. Because this is the altar of God. God is not my buddy. He is my Lord. He administers and dishes out my life every day according to his plan. Yes, he loves me. Yes, he is my father. Yes, I can hop on his lap spiritually in prayer. But there is the element of wrath and fear, which Moses experienced. And so he says, teach us to number our days. Do you know how the great Luther translated this? He translated this, teach us to remember our mortality. Our days, there was the first, teach us to remember that there will be a last. To number our days, to make them count. 40 years of meandering throughout the Sinai Peninsula, the people of Israel traveled from Egypt to Israel. That's 300 miles in a straight line. I did the math. They walked from those doors to the organ every day, 37 yards. That was their daily progress. Eventually, though, after 40 years, they made it there. But Moses, the great man of God, wanted to remind them that God would teach us all to number our days. God's abiding presence with them was proof that God had a plan for them. God wanted them to think about their life, to make it count. Some people, to make their life count, erect monuments. For example, there is a little empire that lived or that existed in the southwestern corner of modern-day Turkey. It was King Mausolus. Mausolus wanted to immortalize himself, and he built a mausoleum. Mausolus, that's why we call him mausoleums, that was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, the mausoleum of Halicarnassus. That was an imposing thing. We have descriptions of it. Even though it was built of marble, it's in shambles nowadays. Nothing really lasts more than marble. And if marble breaks apart and is destroyed, what other way to immortalize ourselves could we find? Teach us to count our days. There is no better way to make our days count, to immortalize ourselves, than to build a building for eternity. And that is when we take our faith and share it with a person in need next to us. God provides them. God puts them there. And he says, don't worry about what you will talk. I will put the words into your mouth so that you can speak what the Holy Spirit wants them to hear. That's a way of making our time on earth count. Teach us to number our days. We live under God's ominous wrath. But it is all disarmed when Jesus steps in and says, Father, hold your thunder. These are my redeemed. I died for them. And the Father embraces us as his children. There is none that comes to God with a repentant heart, asking for help, that is kicked away empty-handed. Everyone, no matter what happened, no matter what he or she did, is welcome at the throne of our Father in heaven. We have God's favor since the day of our baptism, and it'll endure forever. The guilt of the original sin was taken away completely, and the Holy Spirit was granted to help us curb the daily sin in our life. So we walk day by faith under God, doing His bidding. Our times are truly in God's hands, no less than Noah's. Noah had absolutely no control over the ark. He was just a passive passenger. There was no steering wheel on the ark. There were no sails. There was no rudder. There were no navigational charts. Noah was the only sailor to sail a shoreless sea, a sea that had no shores. And yet, the ark landed on the spot to which God directed it, where God wanted it. When we rely on God and put our lives in His hands, we'll land exactly in the spot where God wants us to land, and that is paradise again. As God's children, we see ourselves as pilgrims, and pilgrims don't have a stationary spot. Pilgrims don't stay in one place. They are on the move, and we are on the move to heaven. And as we go on this journey, we invite others to join us as we go. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of God, which is greater than all human understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.